Well, we are still chapter 8 is a long chapter of 1 Kings. And last week, for those who were here, the title was In a School of Prayer with Solomon. In a School of Prayer with Solomon. And tonight, we are coming down to specifics. And the thing is like praying through all circumstances. So because I observe that there are different occasions and different situations of God's people find themselves in. And Alistair was really trying to bring them to us earlier. And actually that is what I'm going to do. Because when you read win, then it tell us that there are different problems, different situations God's people find themselves. So in these situations, God wants us to pray differently, isn't it? He wants us to pray specifically. And this word today is teaching us how to pray when things like this happen to us. And the first thing is like when people are defeated. That is verse 33. When God's people are defeated by an enemy. So you can name this enemy of all kinds. It certainly is an enemy, you see, from outside. It's not a sin from within, you see. And yet, even with that, so the reason for God's people to be defeated even here is because of sin. And even when we have not sinned, and if still bad things happening to God's people, we are living in a broken world that is being subjected to decay and to sin. Because sometimes even bad things happen to good people, even people who have not done anything wrong. You see? And so that people don't have this idea that if I have never done anything wrong, said wrong thing or something bad will never happen to me. So think bad things will stop happening to believers when we are in heaven, isn't it? Because there will be no sin, you see, in heaven, and certainly there will be no an enemy. The enemy will be defeated. Who is defeated? He's a defeated foe. And yet his time is short. He has been given sometimes to do whatever the Lord allows him to do. And so all that we need to do is to be guided by the word of God, how to do battle in this world and how to prevail, even though we are with Satan in this world, like bothering us all the time, blocking the blessings of God and even causing us to sin, and also even our sinful nature at times arises really up and then makes us to be defeated. So here, when God's people are defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, but again, when these people turn back to you and confess your name to be the only name by which we can be saved. The name is referring to his power, to who he is. The name that is above all other names, you see, is referring to majesty, to the glory. You see, that is the name. Yeah. That God does not share with anyone else. So that is why it is in the capital. In the capital. When they turn back to you and confess your name, praying and making supplication to you in the temple, then hear from heaven and forgive their sins, the sins of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land you gave to their fathers. And now it's saying, when God's people are defeated, they are taken to exile, isn't it? They are pushed out of their place of security, place of blessings, you see, place of honor. And so that is what the enemy does. It defeats us, moves us from a place of security into a place, into exile, where we will be tortured. You see, we will be living at the mercy of other people with their all practices of sin. You see, like Babylon, you see. And you have one of my favorite Psalms, 137, at the rivers of Babylon. We sat and we hung our haps and we wept when our tormentors asked us of song of praises, of songs of Zion. And then we said, how can we sing the song of God in the land of sin like this? You see, you think of the glory. You see, this is not your place. To be defeated is not what God has called us to experience. You see, he has set us apart to bless us. And that is why God fought their battles whenever they were with God. You see, they ask him. You see, they seek their face, and they repent of their sins, and they obey his word, and the Lord fights their battles. But God will defend his name. He will not tolerate sin, you see. Always. He will just subject them to punishment, to defeat, to all sorts of things. And you see, that is why one of the main reasons Christian like us would not want to dwell where there is sin of any kind is this. Because the moment we temper with these things, we open ourselves to the humiliation of the enemy. We give him foothold, and then he can do all that he wants. We are to do our homework, we do our part, and even if we suffer after that, we are not to be ashamed, because we are bearing the name of the Lord, and we are not suffering like sinners. The Bible says, when we suffer, we are not to suffer. That is, I think we will come across that in Peter. So this is the first thing. So the defeat is not, we are not destined to be defeated by our enemy, because the enemy of God. And then, but here we are shown that we are to confess our sins and return to God and pray and make supplication. So here, supplication is intercession, isn't it? So supplication is we bring requests. We ask God. You see? Yeah, supplication. We pray. We don't sing here. We don't praise him in prayers. We actually ask him to remove the defeat, and so to turn us back. So we are not to stay under our enemy. So put words under this, lined under this word, supplication. Do we have other translation there? Anyone reading from another translation? What is saying? Verse 33, the last part of verse 33. And making supplication. What is the other word for supplication? Do we have other translations? Request. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, you see, that is a request. That is why we say it's maybe even much more closer to our modern language, isn't it? It's because we bring a request. Say, well, what are your prayer requests? You see, they are distinctive. They are different, you see? And this is how we do it. We bring a request to the Lord to vindicate us so that we as his own people move on. Let's go on. So we have seen in time of defeats what we do, repent of our sins, and we ask God to bring us back to our right position. And we bring this request to him. As Alistair said to us, we don't have to go to a place to face a certain place. You see, wherever we are, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them, and we can bring our request to him directly here and now. You see, that is the privilege. You see, because the way has been opened through the blood of Jesus. Now, verse 35, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heavens and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. You see, so here we have a situation where the blessings are just locked. There's no blessings, isn't it? People were just living out of the mercy of God in rain. You see, this is where they plant their crops. And when there is no rains, their crops and also their animals, you see, that means drought, isn't it? And so because of the sins of the people. And so when heaven is closed, and we remember, there's God who is in charge. He's in charge over the enemy, has power over the enemies, and the heaven is his own place. You see, and he can shut it, even. and his own people will just be really in trouble until we turn back to him. And what we do, we sin. And we confess our sins. And then this is what happens. When we do this, and as if the writers here is saying, teach them the right way to live. Because when we are taught the right way to live, we will not sin against God to shut the heavens. You see, that is the thing. And so we can take this verse in these two ways. One is to say, if we have been taught, and so the word of God, we would have and obeyed it, we will, and we are living it out, we will not have this tragedy of heaven being shut. But on the other hand also, it's like when we repent, and then the Lord now just revealing to us how we live so that we don't make him, cause him to shut heavens. I think I will go with the latter one. You see, so just as we repent, as we are praying to him, and as we are confessing our sins, he will teach us now how to live so that he will send rain on the land. You see, so we will please him, and then he will move and send the rain, and send the rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. You see, God said he will look after the lands he gave us. So here we see there is confession because heaven is shut. And then there is prayers. And because it's God who has done this, afflicted, because you have afflicted them. You see, it's an affliction, isn't it, to have no rain. It's a thorn, the flesh. But here we see how God in his mercy, as we confess sin and repent, and then he will just show us the way to live that will please him, and he will move and give us rain. You see? And so here blessing is like when you are asking God for blessings, having repented so of our sins, and then he will just begin to move in a certain way to give you the right mind and the right heart by which you receive his blessing. Because we will never receive his blessings when our hearts are just like reeling in an open rebellion against God. Let us move on. When famine or plague comes to the land, verse 37, to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when an enemy besieges them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people Israel, each one aware of the afflictions of his own heart, and is spreading out his hands toward this temple. Wow, this is like a group of sins, isn't it? A number of sins and troubles and afflictions, plagues and locusts and small things that are really nagging. Maybe if we want to take it in terms of our modern days, like small battles and gossiping, troubles between people, you see, eating your rest, eating your mind and your focus, even disasters, diseases that are just a result of sin. So you can name them as a variety of different things altogether. You see, and here there is a reference to a one person, even if one person is praying. And when a prayer or plea is met by any of your people, just this is an intercession prayer, isn't it? That's where even a one person can pray, and then may lead others, for each person to see where we are standing. And then the Lord himself will hear. He will forgive and deal with each one's hearts. Yeah, we'll deal with our own hearts. So here, rather, is something really individuals. So because one person's sin really can cause trouble also in the company of many people. You see, that is why we are to search our hearts at times, because one person, when he is blessed, he can just like drag us all into the blessings of God. One person is encouraged, he can encourage us all. And if one person is just causing trouble, we can also sin against them. So here is an opportunity for us to learn from this verse and to see how our hearts are important to the Lord. This is what it's saying, for you alone know the hearts of all men, so that they will fear you all the time they live in the land you gave our forefathers. So security is here, and we see the place of prayers and in facing all the problems, isn't it? So we have seen so far how prayer is the master key for us to deal with all sorts of troubles we face as believers in the Lord. See? How about that? So prayer is just opening your mouth. Heart, mind, mouth, you see, soul. These are the weapons. These are the means we use really to combat all these problems, even like armies and things like that. You see, it's just incredible. And how even God knows our hearts if we are truly repenting, if we are truly remorseful and lamenting our sins. So if we desperately need his blessing, sometimes our problem is that maybe we are even in indifference with it's really a blessing, isn't it? So we can resign to having just what we have. I think Michael Jensen shared with us many, many, many years ago, and that illustration really didn't escape my mind. He said they were at the assembly at some point back in the late 1998 or 99, and he said they went for a coffee break, and there were no milk. And so some people were just having red tea, and then some people were having black tea, black coffee. And then someone called him. He was going to resign to have a black coffee. So someone asked him, come with me. There are some milk somewhere there. And then they went, and there were milk. And then his comment was like, sometimes we want to resign to a black coffee when we desire to have a coffee with milk, isn't it? So our God wants us to have blessings. And so if we are aware of any, let us bring it to God. And now here there is another opportunity for foreigners. As for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. You see? And this is very Middle Eastern. This is very Old Testament type. It's so specific to that time, isn't it? Because during that time, a lot of people were making pilgrims to the Holy Land. People who were sensing that there is God in heavens. They were making journeys. Even from Sudan, there were people. The Ethiopian eunuch was traveling from Sudan, and you see, going to Israel. And there were other nations are not recorded, because they have heard of the name of the God of Israel. And you see, the matter of faith is not a human thing; it's God. God works by His grace in the hearts of many people, different nations. Every human being is not beyond redemption, for we all have been saved by grace and grace alone, and we have been created by the same God. Every human being is created by God and is precious. And it's God who works in their hearts to bring them to Himself. Even today we speak, God is working in the hearts of Muslims and Hindus to bring them to salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why there is a reference here. We are being taught that even the foreigners, even the people who we think even they are not part of God's people, even are not Christians in our terms today. You see, if they come into our midst, and suddenly even if they sit there and they recognize that the God of the Bible is the only God. You see? And if they pray to God, they can be converted. They can be touched. That is what really the writers of Kings saying. If a foreigner who does not belong to the chosen people yet, when he prays, and then this is what he says, when he comes because of the name, because we like it or not, people will hear about the name of the Lord we worship. How many non-Christians today who hear about the grace that Christians are experiencing and the blessings that Christians are having? I can't just stop sharing this story. When I first came to Australia, I had just to go out for labor just in the afternoon, and this man David, he was just like near me, and so the first night he gave me a lift, the second day he gave me a lift as well. I need to go, I know where he's living. That was like 24 years ago. He was so kind. So we were laboring and working 11:30 p.m. So we stopped, and so we were lining up, signing out. And so a young man, my behind, said to me, it was Friday night, he said, where are you going to go now for fun? Are you going to go to a disco or something like that, a nightclub? I said, no. And then he said to me, are you going to drink with some friends? I say, no. And then he said to me, are you a Christian? So I said, oh, yes. Yes. And then he said to me, oh, you Christians, you are holding gold in your hands. And you see, and he's not a Christian, this man. He knows the blessings we have been really called to experience and share because of Jesus Christ. And now even this foreigner is invited to come. So when this man, because of the name of the Lord, when he hears this, for men will hear of your great name. The name of our God is so great. The name of Jesus Christ is above all other names. You see? So when people hear about him and the wonders and his fame, so people come to him. You see, all people who is passing, you see, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus is passing by. Wow, they know his name. So his name is associated with the divine power of God and grace. Yeah, so when a person like this, when he hears about the great name of our God and your mighty hand that was at work in defeating the enemies of his own God, his own people, bringing blessings and forgiving them all their sins, bringing them back to the exile from exiles, you see, and giving them a place again, a future, a place, a fortified. One of the things like now, South Sudanese people need to do great homework on is how can they repent so that God can make them feel secure in their own land. And this is how we see this chapter is worked out and clearly in the lives of South Sudanese people, North and South, because a chosen people, a people, God has purposes in their lives, but God will not let them go free with the sin that they have committed against him. Because there is a lot of injustice, there is open sins and pride and disobedience to the Lord, and those who are righteous are suffering and are being targeted, you see. And so this is an open, a country that should just bless God because of the work he has done, getting closer to them all the time, their trouble, crying. Who would just imagine 60 people walking, young children, and no one single person to die, and God keeping the rain? It's just like this one, this man, he prayed the opposite prayer. Lord, let it not rain. You see? And it didn't rain. Just because they were acknowledging him. They were acknowledging their sins and their need before him. This place. But the whole country needs to experience this. Because his hand is mighty over his own people. And certainly God's hand is just so mighty over us, protecting us, blessing us, you see, out of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, out of his mercy and his precious blood. What a wonderful privilege. Shall we stay in any sin of any kind? Who will we have been saved? Anyway, then hear from heaven and your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you. You see, dear, what a foreigner asks of you. Wow. A foreigner, because to God there is no foreigner. But his foreigner will be foreigners to us. You see? Yeah, but not to God. As of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, just as a result of God accepting foreigners and aliens. That will encourage others also to come to the God of Israel, to the God of the Bible, and to our Lord Jesus Christ. I was asked many years ago when I was going to mission in 2010, I passed by Egypt on our way to Sudan. I was asked by the leaders in the church, of Christian church, the Presbyterian Church of Egypt. They asked, Lam, how can we reach the Muslims? How can we reach them in your opinion and also in your experience? I came up with this answer that I will never forget. I said, we need to live with these people and let them see how much we hate sin and we love God. They said, that is really good. And so that was part of the things. So when the aliens, the foreigners, those who are far from the Lord, because they are only foreigners because they are not believers, You see, they came to be part of God's people. So when they see this, they will come and know the Lord. They will come and fear you as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. And now, victory, that is the final thing, so be 2 minutes. When your people go to war against their enemies, see, there is defense and there is attacking, isn't it? We can attack. Do we have battles to fight? So do we organize ourselves? We say, oh, we need to attack. You see, there are plunders there. You see, there are things there for us to gain for God and to gain. You see, even territories for the Lord. Do we plan this? Can we do this? This is what he's saying. When your people go to war against their enemies, because we will have our enemies, do we go to war? Do we initiate battles? Or we are already in battles and we don't want to open new, what are they called? New, new fronts, yeah, that is the word. Exactly, that is the word. Front, yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, new front, you see, because I could think only this word in Arabic, Jabba. You see, Jabba is just like, it's a front. You see, so when we as Christian, also in the wisdom that God gave us, when you have a lot of problems and troubles, you don't open more trouble for yourself, is it? You deal with the troubles you have, you see. But God also wants us to be free and actually to get into battles, you see. And so we know these are our enemies. Maybe atheists here in this place. What do we have a program really to call them to debate? You see, we invite them over for a barbecue and then we just take them in a battle, you see. Or even like to challenge people who are just like really challenging our faith. We are citizens of this country. We have rights like them. So how can we protest in a good way, in a way that will bring salvation to these people? You see, it happens. We need to do this. Apostle Paul also used to do this. You see, whenever they want to really close down on him, and they will say, oh yeah, I'm a citizen. You see, or if they are the Jews, they will say, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I have rights, you see, even as a Roman citizen as well. So here when we can do battles, we can wage war against our enemy. And wherever you send them, you see, when your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them. Also, we need to recognize, also, we need to send the Holy Spirit in these battles, isn't it? And so is the Lord also who will lead us to attack these things and to fight these battles. And so these are ways that we can learn from this text how we do this. And when they pray to the Lord toward the city you have chosen and the temple I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayers and their plea and uphold their cause. Give them victory. It's just incredible. So my prayer is that we will take this seriously to our hearts and sit before the Lord and do battle in praise. If it is a need for us to recognize that we have been defeated in certain areas, we are to pray to the Lord to reverse the situation. And then we bring this very specific request. Is it an addiction? Is it a habit? Is it an attitude? Is it a mindset? Whatever it might be. A new worldview? Defeating worldview? No, we are to do these things. Is the blessings are held in any way? Let us ask the Lord to search our hearts and see, and then bring also a praise and see God reversing the situation and pouring out his blessings upon us. And then also you see we are meant to flourish and to thrive and to have blessings, you see. So we are not just really to just survive, survival. No, we are not a people just only to survive, but to thrive and to really advance the kingdom of God. This sounds like a what do you call? Prosperity gospel? No. God wants us to be whole. What did we read in Philippians chapter 2? I just want to read one verse only, and we finish with chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's self-explanatory, isn't it? You see, in every aspect, you see, in everything that Solomon was speaking about. Let us pray.